Are you here? Wave your hand. Okay, you are the one. Okay, I want to preach it today. She said, she observed a lot of people are compromising. And asked me, he said, please, I should preach that message. I promise her that I will preach it. And I want to preach it today. So we are looking at the topic we titled, The Compromising Christian. The Compromising Christian. What is it to compromise? I try to look at, it's an English word. So I look at the Webster's Comprehensive English Dictionary. And this is the definition. The definition of compromise. To compromise, it says, is an adjustment for settlement by arbitration and mutual concession, usually involving a partial surrender of purposes or principles. I read it again. The meaning, the English meaning of the word compromise is an adjustment for settlement by arbitration and mutual concession, usually involving a partial surrender of purposes or principles. What is it to compromise? To compromise is to give off a little or more to accommodate the other interests. Amen. If you stay on your own principle, then the other interest will be affected. So you want to accommodate the other interest, and the only way you can accommodate the other interest is for you to give off part of your principle to be able to accommodate. That is the meaning of compromise. That is give and take. Give to be able to take. Give off to be able to take. Praise the Lord. And truly, life generally is based on giving and taking. If you have to live peacefully in your environment, wherever you are, if you want to fit in anywhere, generally speaking, you have to give off. You have to compromise a little bit of your principles to be able to accommodate others. That is in life generally, but in Christianity, it is dangerous to compromise your faith. Praise the Lord. Can everybody hear me? At the back, the other side of Jordan. If you can hear me, shout hallelujah at the back. Nursing mothers, if you can hear me, shout hallelujah. They are not hearing me. Nursing mothers, if you can hear me, shout hallelujah. Okay, now me not hear you. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. God will see us through. Praise the Lord. In Christianity, I say it is dangerous to compromise your Christian faith. To give up your Christian principle to accommodate some other interests that are contrary to Christian principles, it is dangerous. A Christian is supposed to be a non-compromiser or a non-conformist. You don't compromise your faith for anything. If you do that, church, Christians, all over the world, it is dangerous. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The first human being that compromised on this earth was Adam. Adam compromised. And it has landed us like this. Adam. Adam, where art thou? He compromised. Okay. Let's sing one song and believe that this noise will reduce. 2:53. By the time we finish, the rain falling will reduce. In 2:53 or so. If you know it, follow me. If you don't know it, listen. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. He will always be with us if we do our part. There is none in this wide world can pleasure our God. There is peace and contentment inside God. Oh, I love you far better than images of yore. I serve you more truly than ever before. I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I will be a good soldier, I'll die at my door. When I'm tempted to turn from that, I'll think of my Savior, my mind wanders back to the place where they kneel on Calvary's cross. I hear a voice saying, I saw God for you. Oh, I love you far better than images of yore. I'll serve him more truly than ever before. I'll do as he bids me, whatever the Lord. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my bed. It was where I wandered on the road to that Jesus was sweetly to my weary soul. My sins were forgiven in my heart. Oh, I love you for better in this world. I shall be more truly than before. I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my door. Yes, sir. How rich is the blessing the world cannot give? I'm satisfied fully for Jesus to give. No grace may forsake me, I'm trying so hard. I'm trusting in Jesus, his love never dies. Oh, I love him far better than images of yore. I'll serve him more truly than ever before. I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my door. Like Jesus can cheer me through. His love and his kindness can never fail me. In
shall know His love and affection and all His distance. Oh, I love You far better than illness of love. I sigh out to You than ever before. I do as it pleases Me. This blessing that Jesus bestows, a faithful salvation from sin's bitter truth. Oh, call to the Savior to Calvary flee. The fountain is open, it's flowing for me. Oh, I love You far better. In this world, I stand before to live and ever before. How dear as it is to your hand, I know. How deep and rich is your
the son of a true non-compromiser. Adam is the first human being on earth that compromised. How did he compromise? Amen. Amen. If Adam did not compromise the word of God, we will not be in the condition that we are in now. Eve did not compromise, so Eve disobeyed. Eve, her own was disobedience. But Adam, his own, was compromise. How? The law of God is that if your wife leaves you to go and meet another man, if she come back, you should not accept her again. That's in the Bible. Jeremiah, open it. Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 3 also. Hallelujah. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3. Amen. They say, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Where was that spoken? Deuteronomy 24. Go to Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. When, verse 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, that's the first one, we sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. It's abomination. That's where I'm going. Adam knew that law. He knew it all. He knew it. He knew everything that pertained to this law. He was not supposed to take her back as a wife. Love for the woman Eve made him to compromise that law and still stick to her. That's why all of us are suffering till today. He compromised. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the act of that compromise made Adam to bring about mixing of seed. Mixing of seed. Praise the Lord. Mixing of seed. Adam made it possible for the seed of the serpent to mix with the true seed of Adam. The mixture to them produced death. That's why we see in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. The woman there, that parable, that took leaven and mixed leaven, yeast, mixed it with 3 measures of meal. 3 measures of meal there. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. A woman, a church, took wrong doctrine, false doctrine, mixed it with the true word, the true meal. What did he produce? He said, the whole meal, the 3 measures of meal were corrupted. That is why Jude verse 3 says, we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Don't mix it. They mixed it, and all the years in Christianity, see what it has produced. See the type of Christianity that has produced. The word of God mixed with man-made doctrines. What will it produce? This is what we are seeing now in Christianity today. Why? It came about through compromise. We know the story of what happened in AD 325. That popular Nicene Council meeting, the meeting in Nicaea, there in Rome, where believers had to have a meeting with the two groups, the false church and the true church. They were fighting based on doctrines. And the enmity was so strong. The argument, the disagreement was so strong. And General, Constantine, Emperor Constantine, the emperor at that time, when Satan gave him that devilish dream, that with the sign of the cross, he will conquer. It was not God that gave him. He decided to recognize the God of the Christians and decided to add that God to the number of gods they already had in Rome. Amen. You know, Constantine is a perfect type of believer, some believers in this age. An unbeliever that has a problem runs to the church, and under anointing, the problem is solved. Then he said, so this Jesus is real. And therefore, he decides to start going to church in addition to the nightclub life that he or she are living. He decides, I will not just drop this Jesus. He has been so good. Now he give me husband. Now he heal me. Now he give me breakthrough. Now he deliver me. So I will also be going to church now, so I can go to the church and sing praises to God, and go to the nightclub also and sing. I will not leave this Jesus. He's so good. That was Constantine, the emperor. And his own contribution to Christianity, to have peace, he called the two warring factions of Christianity together and decided, look, let us come to agreement. What did I define? Compromise. He said it usually involves a partial surrender of purposes or principles. Surrender your own small. Surrender your own small. He said it is during arbitration. Arbitration is somebody standing to settle a matter. Arbitration is a legal terminology. So General Titus came And the two warring factions came for arbitration. What happens? Give off a little of your own. Give off a little so that we are one. We are all Christians. You have your agreement. I have my agreement. You are Sele. You are Catholic. You are Methodist. You are Anglican. We are Pentecostals. We have one thing in common. Jesus. Why don't we come together as one and form Christian Association of Nigeria? It is a result of a compromising stand. That produced that leaven that was injected into those three measures of meal. The three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was a product of the spirit of compromise. And you know what that has landed today. What is Trinity? Trinity is a continuation of the Roman idolatrous tendencies to have as many gods as possible. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Co-equal, co-this, co-that, co-this, co-that. He was never three in Israel. He has never been three. He has always been one. Show me Trinity in the Old Testament. Nothing like that. It is after that 325 AD that doctrine came into the church because of compromise. You see? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God expects you to stand where the word of God stands. He does not expect us to compromise his principles. He hates mixture. God hates it. God hates mixture. Church, God hates it. He told the children of Israel that they should not intermarry. Don't intermarry. Why did he say don't intermarry? I think Genesis 6 or so. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. What happened? They went and took for them wives from the daughters of men. You know, it's referring to the lineage of Cain. Fine girls there, the children of Adam, children of Seth, they saw fine girls there. Instead of marrying from the lineage, their own lineage, they cross over to those serpent seeds. And what happened? They cross seeds. What happened? Destruction, rebellion, everything like that. Church, God hates it. That is why he said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. In marriage is number one yoke. Number one yoke. If you leave now and go and marry somebody who is not a Christian, which religion will be your children? You see? They are neither here nor here. The husband, they struggle in you. When you tell her about Christ, the husband will come later and tell her about Guru Maharaj. So the children grow up no spiritual bearing. God hates it. God hates it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And each time you disobey God, you are going into destruction when you mingle these seeds. Samson compromised. A great man like that went to a Philistine woman. If he had gone to a Jewish woman, will he have fallen the way he fell? Solomon, with all his wisdom, he went marrying from those unbelievers, several of them. Where did his wisdom lead him to? To destruction. And listen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know who, even naturally, a man is, is to look at his stand when it comes to the issue of women. There are men that are feared by the whole world. Fear. When you see them, hey, an auntie, hey, But reach home when he sees, if you want to bring him down, bring one young girl before him. He gonna shake. This man, where they, everybody they fear, that young girl will come and say, you just say be president for nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Ministers of God all over the world. You hear, anytime you hear that a minister has fallen, it's a woman. There's a woman behind it. So anointed. But when it comes to a woman, he's finished. Solomon, in all his wisdom, and all his wealth, it was a woman that brought him down. He compromised that principle that you should not mix intermarriage. Don't intermarry. Israel always paid for it. Each time they did that. Why? God hates it. That is the principle of God that is demonstrated, that you should not mix. Don't mix. Compromise is the spirit that permits you to mix good and bad together. Compromise is the spirit. The compromising spirit is the spirit that will refuse you to have an identity. The spirit of compromise is the spirit of a chameleon. Chameleon! Can you tell the color of a chameleon? Eh? Chameleon spirit. Ah! May you not have a chameleon spirit. You fit in everywhere. Eh? Where unbelievers are dancing masquerade dance, you sabi and pass them. Where they are sitting down and talking all the nonsense people in the world talk, you know it past them. When they are drinking palm wine in the village, you know the correct one and the fake one. You are a chameleon. When Two-Face, that's his name. Two-Face is playing any music by Two-Face, you know the lyrics more than Two-Face himself. And when we are singing Amazing Grace, oh, you know it very well. You are a chameleon. That is the spirit of compromise. You are a chameleon. Chameleon. Ask your neighbor. What do you mean? Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let me bring us something from that scripture we quote every time. Deuteronomy chapter 22. We know it as a scripture. We quote it here, we as ministers and believers of the end time message. Verse 5. Are we there? Verse 5. He said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The question is, why will God descend and say, woman, don't dress like a man. Man, don't dress like a woman. It's a principle he's bringing up. If you are a man, look like a man, act like a man, dress like a man. If you are a woman, style, talk like a woman, walk like a woman, dress like a woman. Why will a man like to look like a woman? Why will a woman like to look like a man? It is chameleon spirit. It is a spirit of compromise. That is the emphasis of that scripture. The spirit of compromise that crept into the church. Suddenly, a church that was known for holiness, women now began to be wearing men clothes. It is spiritually telling the spiritual people that the spirit of compromise has taken over the church. Gospel according to nature. I preached that before. Natural things tell us spiritual things. Do you know that it is only not only the garment you put on? Go to verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 22. See what he said. He said, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. If you have a farm, that section, the section of farm that you want to plant maize, plant only maize. Don't plant maize here. The next place is yam. The next place is cassava. The next one, ugu. The next one, okra. The next one, rice. Where's your farm? That's your farm. What are you farming? I farm what? Verse 10. He said, also, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Can you see? Plowing there, you are supposed to have two oxes, isn't it? Eh? You put the yoke so that they move at the same pace. Then, the whatever it is, the tiller behind, and they are going. He said, don't use an ox and don't use a cow. If you want to use cow, use two cows. If you want to use ox, use two ox. Don't mix them together. The reason is simple. The endurance of one is different from the endurance of the other. The intelligence of one is different from the intelligence of the other. The two of them will not agree. There will be confusion. This one won't go forward. This one won't go forward. Because their reasoning is not at the same level. There will be confusion. What will be the product of that farm? The farm will be jaga-jaga. 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 There will be fight from beginning till evening. Because they can't agree. Verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Why will God be so interested to that level? Don't wear a garment. That is, if you want to wear cotton, let the whole cloth be cotton. Why will one part be cotton? The other one, na linen. The other one, na wool. Okay, you jam wool and cotton together. When you want iron arm, now the same level of heat you can feel apply for wool and cotton. And if you want iron arm. Who can beat the wisdom of God? You see? Why will God be interested in that? It is not the cloth he's interested in. It is the spirit that produces that. It's a compromising spirit that will invent that type of cloth. Because you are supposed to know the effect of mixing it together. You want to wear wool, wear wool. You want to wear cotton, wear cotton. You want to wear linen, wear linen. You want to wear bath, wear bath. Just imagine a sister wearing one leg flat shoe and the other one high heel. What come up we see now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He repeated it. The same thing. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19. Praise God. And that is the same reason why he gave us the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13 from verse 24. The parable of wheat and tares. What does he say? That parable, the owner of that farm went and planted good seed. While men slept, the enemy came and planted another type of seed there. He planted tares. You see? Why did he say an enemy did it? Because the enemy knows the effect of planting tares together with wheat. That is the reason why evil farmers, he said, let them all grow together. He said, at the end time, he will send his reapers. There must be separation. Church, there must be separation in the church of Jesus Christ. There must be, hallelujah, there must be separation. There must be separation. Praise the Lord. That's the reason why every farmer that has a farm, all of us, we come from one village or the other. We know about manual farming. We know that in every community, a farming community, there is a season for weeding. There is a season for weeding. If you don't go and weed, the original thing you planted will not grow properly. All the power, nourishment, tears, we go and collect them. So the real seed will grow kwashoko because it didn't have enough nourishment. The tares that were planted there, we collect all the nourishment. And they are useless. They are not useful to you. They are not useful to the church. They are not useful to the kingdom. They are just there to trouble the real seed of God in the church. Tares, they are talking about the composition of the church of Jesus Christ. And every true church must make it uncomfortable for tares to stay in that church. Every church, every pastor, every minister, you must watch out for tares who will come to disturb the spiritual growth of the real seed. Don't mix the two together. That's why the doctrine of it doesn't matter is a compromising spirit. It doesn't matter. Let everybody come. Everybody cannot come to this farm. Every seed cannot come to a farm. You can't sow every type of seed in a farm. It is forbidden. The church of Jesus Christ is likened to a farm. He called it the vineyard. A place where seeds are planted and cultivated. He said, don't plant diverse kind of seed in the same farm. The church of Jesus Christ cannot have the worldly system and spiritual system mixed together. It is a spirit of compromise. It will bring death to the church. Therefore, there must be separation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There must be. We are not to conform to this world. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord was talking to that church age, how he hated those who hold on to the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? It's in Numbers chapter 25. Hallelujah. We know the story. Doctrine of Balaam. Balaam. Inspired by the devil. The quest to make riches by all means using his gift. What did he do? When he could not curse them as Balak offered him money to do. What did he do? He advised Balak, that unbelieving king. This is how you should do it. If you are going to curse these children of Israel, you cannot curse them because God told me that whom he has blessed, you cannot curse. Do you know that? Do you know no man can curse you? How many people has God blessed here? Eh? Put down your hand. Now, do you really mean you know you are blessed? Eh? You know you are blessed. You know you are blessed. Eh? So if you leave church today and somebody say, over my dead body, you will never prosper. What will you say? I will laugh and go away. Because you have prepared your death sentence. Since I must prosper, because whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And you say, over my dead body, will you prosper. So if you say that, I will say amen. Because you will die. Amen. No true child of God can be cursed. Balaam knew that. He said, but let me tell you, if you want to deal with a true child of God, let me tell you what you should do. What you should do is get that child of God to be in problem with God. That is the doctrine of Balaam. Just get that one. Get him. Get her. To have problem with God. How? Get him or her to break a law of God. Once you can get him or her to break a law of God, God himself will come and deal with them. Let me tell you how you will do it. You know, for a long time they have been in the wilderness. So they never see naked women before because they are very strong. They never see people dancing and shaking like that before. Prepare a feast. And invite them. Tell them we are one. Other people have been fighting them. Any nation that fought Israel on their journey in the wilderness, Israel will defeat them. That's why Balak, the king of the Amalekites, he was scared. How will I deal with these people? I don't want them to pass through my land because I know what they will cause here. And so, under the advice of Balaam, he organized a feast and invited the children of Israel. Come, we will offer you drink and wine. We are one. You know our history, where we are coming from. You know, and then just come and relax. Then he dressed up his fine girls with pointed breasts, beta bum bum, laps, just cover, then kept them. Small time, they started singing Awilo. Makosa, Makosa, Makosa. And the children of Israel saw. They see for the first time in 40 years. Women shaking. Tiki, 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 tiki. And you know that it is planned for them. So you know the type of dance they will dance. And the children of Israel look. He said, look, Balaam, Moses, Joshua, all of you, now look, we are all brethren. What is it now? Just a little, just one night, we could just dance, we could just dance. Tia! Balak said, no, but take anyone you like. Free, it's free. Take anyone you like, take anyone you like. They took and then messed up themselves that night. And God got angry. That night, 24,000 of them died. What Balaam could not achieve by cursing them, he achieved through that doctrine. 24,000 children of God, under the hand of God himself, they died. He killed them out of anger. How do you read the Bible, compromising Christian? What do you learn from the stories in the Bible anytime you study Bible? The life that you live shows whether you understand what is written in this book, Bible. God is no respecter of persons. After all he spoke concerning Moses, one mistake Moses did, he decided to use him for example to tell the whole world he is no respecter of persons. Moses did not enter the promised land. What of you? Would you fear? So you understand why Apostle Paul said, walk your salvation with fear and trembling. Because he has read what happened to them in the past. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what, that's what I'm saying. Ministers, we are supposed to be watchmen in the vineyard of the Lord. What are you watching? Watch any stray spirit that will try to creep into this place. God knows, concerning doctrine here in this church, we cannot be faulted. Satan knows. He knows. When Apostle Paul said, he who thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. People don't know what that means. Watch. Watch what? Every preacher that comes to this church, you are preaching. Hey, Brother Victor. Where is he? Hallelujah. All of you that come here to preach, whether it is in your prayer group, Sunday school, anytime at all, you are the one I am watching more than anybody else in this church. Be informed. How? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How? Amen. Your doctrine, not only you, all the ministers that God is using in this ministry, you are the ones my eyes shine, they look you one by one. Why? I know better. Hallelujah. No matter, your doctrine, your revelation may be perfect, correct, but I hope your life too is matching what you are preaching. If not, you are a false preacher. You are false. And we must not allow any false preacher in this church. Because the life that we live preach louder than the message we preach at the altar. That's the truth. 30 years in this ministry. Who in this church will tell me I have ever collected copper from you deceitfully? Or even not deceitfully, I have ever met you say, Brother Nancy, I have a need. Please help me. Since this church started. And don't think that I am rich. Since 1998, that I became pastor of this church, I have been on trial till now. All my businesses were closed. But I knew better. I told Satan, I know why you are doing that. I have my mates that are in positions everywhere that I could go to. But I know if I go, he will go and attack it. I told him, you can close the door of my business, but you can never set up. You can never close the door into the kingdom. Like that heaven, I will enter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm saying it. I'm saying it boldly. And I expect every preacher in this church to be able to stand here too and say the same thing. If you say, cannot say it, you're a hypocrite preacher. You're a hypocrite minister. Minister that will tell you, bring money for me to go and pray for you. He's anointed. But the anointing on him is a false anointing. Because the Bible tells us, freely we have received, freely we will minister. If you charge before you pray, you are false. And why will a preacher do that? It is a chameleon spirit. Hunger make an offer bear him again. He bend corner and compromise a little. And make shipwreck of your faith. Why are you not following your pastor? You said they give you quit notice. Me too, they give me quit notice at the firehouse. Thomas? I think they give me quit notice. The house where they live, the owner don't sell them. The new person say you won't use them. Make a come out. So at the firehouse. So if you come and say they give you quit notice, for my mind, I'm going to say, me too. They give me quit notice. Praise God. What type of a preacher are you? They sent for me. I went with my wife somewhere. She was telling me later on, they came and met her. To go and preach in a church. And they were preparing the type of offering that they will give me, because all ministers that go to that church to preach, they task their members, on what they will give the preacher. The friend of mine is a general in the Air Force that was in charge. I invited me to go and preach to them there. He told me later, he said, they came to him, sir. So what are we going to package for this visiting minister? He said, he laughed. He said, no, be that kind of pastor, be this one when they come. What is your own testimony outside this church? Somebody who is not a member of this church, he knows that I'm not that type that will go and preach so that you raise offering for me. Spirit of compromise. Let any girl in this church tell me, or outside this church, because they will hear this message wherever the tape will go, tell me that I have ever winked my eye on her, seducing her, and tell her, I like you, I like the way they work. Then curse me with all I know, descend to that level and chase a woman. Then curse me with all I know, descend to that level and fornicate and commit adultery as a papa. Or go and borrow money from somebody and refuse to pay. When they come, they say, take time. I'm a servant of God. Don't trouble me. Anytime I have your money, I will give you. Don't trouble me. If not, if I go to the mountain for you, are you troubling a servant of God like that? Oh, I come indirectly. I begin to charge you. When I was celebrating 25 years of my marriage, how much did I ask you to bring for me? But you know, the GOs, what they will do with that opportunity. Why am I doing that? I am refusing to lower the standard for any reason. I will not compromise. Church, you want to get close to this pastor? Listen, I am not in Bread Assembly looking for friends. I have enough friends out there. I am looking for brethren. Don't try to come close to me when you know you are not ready to go on this journey from earth to glory. Man or woman, don't do that. Because you come to me like a brother, I will treat you like a brother. You change and act like a serpent, I will cut off your head. I'll cut off your head. Before you bite me, I cut off that head. Cut off that head. Praise God. I'm not a chameleon. Lila, I'm not a chameleon. There must be separation. When God calls you, He does not call you in group. I hope you know that. Eh? When God called Abraham, the Bible says He called Abraham alone. But who did Abraham drag along? Lot. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Church, listen. I think there is the principle of life savers in a sea, in a river, by the ocean side there. Professional life savers at sea. Eh? When somebody is drowning, they don't rush immediately to bring the person out. I hope you know that. Eh? They will leave that person to drown, because at the time that he's drowning, he is very strong. He's looking for something he can hold on to. If you just die, pia and go, and your neck he hold. He will hold it, nothing can remove it. Until two of you will do what? Die. So the professional lifesavers, they'll be swimming around. You there, paka, paka, paka. You go, paka, paka, he's watching, he's swimming around. Until you drink water, tire. Now you are weak. Then he will go around and pick you and bring you out. And bring out the water where you drink. Church, save yourself first. Before you go to save another person. Be sure you yourself, you are saved. You are spiritually fortified. You are not grounded. You are going after your girlfriend that is still in the world, Abby. Eh? She's looking for something to hold on to. Now you are going to Christ. She will not get money again from you. She will not be able to come and sleep with you again. Because you are now a Christian and you are ready to leave. Ah, she said, if I lose this guy now, how I go take survive for Lagos? How I go take survive for Lagos? Ha! Be careful with such a person. Be sure before you go say, ah, I'm born again, leave me alone. Be sure you too, you don't ground well, well. If not, she knows your weakness now. I don't mind. Johnny said, don't they born again? Oh, make I leave you, you're born again. Okay, I leave you. Okay, you're born again. Me, I'll be devil. Okay, go. She knows your weakness. She knows anytime you see her breast, you are finished. She will go to a tailor and design a cloth. And make sure she cut it. See, those dresses that women wear, and you see their breasts popped out here, you think it's not a mistake? Eh? No, it's not a mistake. It's a design. It's meant for the breast to pop out. They know who they are looking for. If you can resist her, then you know. And do you know that people, sisters, dress like that and come to church? Eh? Eh? They dress like that and come to church. And they're looking for prophet. I want to sow a seed. And the prophet is sitting down. Try to connect. He will disconnect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Salvation is a personal thing. Make your calling and election sure. Save yourself first before you think of another person. It's important. Don't jump up and say you are an evangelist when you are not yet grounded in evangelism, because the evangelist face the highest temptation. You are saying that the person that you are talking to has already looked at you in the spirit and known which level you are. So be very, very careful. Anyway, the area I'm going is Lot followed Abraham, but it was Abraham God called. There's something Abraham had that Lot didn't hear. Even if Lot hear, he will only hear from Abraham. God will say. So Lot is following Abraham, not because he has a personal revelation from God, but because I love my brother so much, since he said, "Na church, he won't go now, me too, I go to follow and they go church." Anywhere you go, I love this, my brother. Even a Catholic church, you won't go now, I go follow him. Even if he changed, you say, "No, Lumba, you won't go now," I go still follow him. I have respect so much for this, my brother. He's very spiritual. But the time came for God's purpose to be achieved in the life of Abraham. He caused a fight to take place. There are some fights that take place around you. It is to cause a separation. It's because of separation. And when you don't separate, then you are only going to delay God's promises for you. God can't walk with you in a state of compromise. I love him so much. If I go this way, he goes to Sodom. How will he? You know, he's very weak. Small time now. They will come and carry them. I'll go and start fighting again to bring him back. So let him cuckoo stay with me. Okay. Continue to compromise. The effect is there will never be peace in your home. There will never be peace in your family. There will never be peace in your church. Never be peace in your church. Continue to compromise. All manner of spirits will come to that church and take root. Don't do this. We as a church, this is what we stand for. Every opportunity, somebody will bend and do it. That's evident he does not belong here. Don't compromise. Don't be so much filled with the love of God until you compromise and baptize the whole fellowship with a spirit of trouble. Compromise. I like to say this so that when you see me take some actions, you will understand. That's the truth. There are some people you don't see in the church for some time. They don't commit. And we don't drive them come out. Pastor Thomas said one has come and be begging you. And one brother came to me, his wife has been driven out from the church. Early in the morning, he said, Daddy, you know you are our daddy. I said, I'm not a daddy of serpent seeds. Don't call me daddy. I am a shepherd of sheep, not goats. So you are a serpent seed. You are a serpent seed. There's nothing in you that can change. Because you are getting worse and worse. A true child of God, when you rebuke him once, he takes correction. But this one, the more you rebuke, they will only change style. Let me finish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is a God of standards. God is not a God of anyhow. And every country has what you call the standard organization of that country. Nigeria has Standard Organization of Nigeria, S-O-N. And Jesus is the S-O-N of God. The way, the truth, and the life. He is God's standard. He is the S-O-N of God. He is. Praise the Lord. And a group of people, a Christian, without a standard, you are finished. Anybody will come, blow you away. Anybody will come, blow you away. Now, so then they believe now. Wow. They are the type, you are sitting down here now. You know what this church stands for. Until you love the pastor so much, you have so much respect for the pastor. So much, until when he's deviating, you are not sharp enough to know that Bride Assembly is now going like the denomination. You are not sensitive enough to know so that you will carry your Bible and leave Bride Assembly for your life's sake. Any day you see any of this denominational nonsense taking place here, they have deviated. If it is truth that brought you to this church, carry your Bible and say, Lord, where will I go? Where will I go? And God will direct you. That type of prayer, he doesn't waste time. Don't work with a compromiser. Don't make a compromiser your friend. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't mix your standard with a compromiser. Don't do that. Especially gifted brothers, gifted sisters. Your reason why you get close to another gifted sister, gifted brother, is because you see something about Christianity that is better than your own that you can gain from. But when you go near, you see worldliness and all carnality, run for your life's sake, no matter how anointed that person is. I am talking to believers of truth. But those of you who are in Bride Assembly because of the anointing, you are not the one I'm talking to. Remain here, no matter how we deviate. The anointing will still flow. Since it is anointing you are looking for. But that anointing will lead you to hell. Because Matthew 27 verse 21. He said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall inherit. Who are those that will inherit? He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, God has no problem with your anointing. The problem God has is the character that follows the anointing. That is what so many people will cry for at the end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every Christian in John, Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, Jesus Christ gave his commentary concerning John the Baptist. He said, when you went to the wilderness, what did you go to see? Concerning John. He said, did you see a reed shaking with the wind? Eh? The reed shaking with the wind. You know what? You know, some plant somewhere, where if breeze is blowing, poo, it follow go. The breeze is going this way now, it follow go. This one blowing this way now, it follow go. He said, is that the kind of person you have gone to see? It's not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a non-conformist. John the Baptist is a non-conformist. The wind today is wind of doctrine. Every Christian, you must have a bearing. There must be something you stand for in line with the scripture. John the Baptist had no respect of persons as far as his ministry is concerned. He stood by his commission. Even if it is locust and honey, he will eat. Even if you will not give him food to eat, he will not compromise. Even at the cost of his life, he refused to compromise. And God expects every one of us to be like that. Not like Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the king, Israel divided into two. He was ruling one part. Ahab was ruling one part. But Ahab was the worst king Israel has ever had. Everything bad, Ahab was involved. God was angry with him. Until he went to collect one poor man's land, Naboth. At the advice of that Jezebel woman. A Philistine woman that he married. When God said, you should not marry anybody that was not a Jew. In the land, they said, don't marry any of them. What did he do? Praise the Lord. He married her. So you will pay for it now. You will pay. You will pay for it. Compromise. I was watching the television yesterday. I think that was immediately after our own broadcast. The next person that followed. One CAC church from Benin. And the man was bringing us something, my wife and I were watching. That was so wonderful. He is so angry with the Pentecostal system of worship. And he went further to say that they should show in the Bible where any woman was the assistant to her husband in any ministry. This is no brother assembly now. This was CAC. And he said something. He said, this is important. This is very, very important. He said something. He said that people don't know where that spirit came from. That we in Africa were following. He said this thing started from the West, Europe and America. He said, those men elevated their wives into the position of ministry, it was for a selfish purpose. Because the laws in the Western world favor the women when it comes to divorce. Once you decided to divorce you and your wife overseas in America and Europe, the law is, I think, about 70%. 70% of everything you have will go to the woman. She will claim it. They call it alimony. She will claim it. So, if you don't want your wife to mess you up, anything she wants, give it to her. And so, To bring peace, they brought the women into the ministry. Like the man was saying, he said, immediately you start, even before you ordain her, she's already telling everybody, I am Pastor Mrs. Woke. Amen. He said, and Africans, they borrow that and thinking that it is scripture. And they are following and ordaining their women as pastors and reverend misses. Compromise so that they can be at peace. They ordain their women even though it is contrary to the Bible. And they know it. They know it. Amen. He gave an example that he went to England on his way to America. He went to one of his daughter's houses and then he said his wife dressed, she plait her hair with rope. I don't know what they used to. This one where they stand like this. Maybe. And they are saying, where they stayed there. Mommy, you're going to America. And they will say you left England. Don't put me to shame now. You dress well now. You have to put some wig. You have to dress well now. So you won't even wear trousers. Okay, even if you won't wear trousers, put something now. Look modern now. Look modern. He said he was not around. He said when he came back home, he saw his wife with wig. Compromising spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that not the reason, sister, you are still palming your hair? What will the world say about me? What will the friends say about me? Is that not the reason you are still painting your face? Is that the reason you are wearing that earring? Do you have any other reason other than the fact that what will people say concerning you? That's the only reason. That's the only reason. You know it is not adding to your beauty. You know it. You know. You know that you are even finer without it than with it. You know. But your problem is, what will they think about me? I will look odd. I will look one kind. I will look this. I will look that. Anytime I go, they are always laughing at me. Anywhere I go, they are always looking at me one kind. My boss say if I must walk with him, then I must be wearing trouser. So, and I don't get another walk. Now, God, you will understand. Then you begin to wear the trouser. When you are going to church, you pull it and go and wear one skirt and come and join us like a Christian. Then they see you with us. They think we are the same. Meanwhile, we are different. You know we are different. The spirit is different. The spirit is different. Because, and they ask you, which church are you from? They say, Bride Assembly. Which Bride Assembly? Sticker on your car, the bride. For your house, the bride. For your office, the bride. And yet you are dressing contrary to the bride. You are a hypocrite. A hypocrite. And some of you will say, you see me. If such a person ever see me in the spirit, you will see me with Cain. Caning you. Finally, praise the Lord. Final of the final. Jeremiah 35. If you are there, 35, Jeremiah, listen to that story and learn a lesson from that story. I'm reading from verse 1. Can I read on now? Check your neighbor whether your neighbor doesn't have Bible. Ask him. If you don't have Bible, why are you not having Bible? From verse 1. Listen carefully. The word, follow with me as I'm reading. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. This is thus said the Lord to a mighty prophet. Go to the house of Rechabite and bring them, give them wine to drink. Verse 3. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, come, and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, after the Rechabites refused to drink the wine, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, said the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, a man, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, they are performed. For unto this day, they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending down, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor hearken unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but these people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he has commanded you, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechabite, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. See, the emphasis there is that a man told his children, a man, a human being, told his children, don't do this. Don't drink. Don't build. They were even telling, because they were Canaanites. They were even telling them. He said, come. They are not Israelites. They are not Jews. They are Canaanites. He said, it is the fear of the king of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and the king of Israel, Syrians. When they were coming, that's why we ran away from our village and came to Jerusalem. Oh. When we say we belong to here, why would they act anyhow? You see? A man told his children, don't do this. And a mighty prophet came to them. Even that mighty prophet could not dissuade them from keeping their father's commandment. The Rechabites. Amen. Because the greatest problem affecting Christianity is that we worship God with respect to persons. Is it Pastor Moses that said it? Once na him say, me I go do amu. No matter how contrary it is to the Bible. You see? God used that to speak to the children of Israel, and he's still using that. The life of the Rechabites, the stand of the Rechabites, to speak to bride assembly members and Christians all over the world. Stay with God's word. Don't compromise it for any reason. Don't compromise it. Eh? Saul, they say, go and destroy all the Amalekites. He said, destroy everything, their animals, their men, their women, their children. Clean the whole land. Yes, sir. And jumped up and went to fight the battle. And decided to spare some animals. And decided to bring the king alive. God was angry with him, church. Listen, church. That singular action robbed Saul of his kingship. God is demonstrating how he hates such obedience. You're not wiser than him. Don't do this. Once you are sure it's God that has spoken, stop it. He said, go and do something. Once you are sure it is God that says stop it, stop it. Go, do it. If you are sure it is God that says you should do it, don't let anybody stop you. Don't do it, church. It will cost you something that you will regret for life. Saul regretted his own for life. Somebody else took his place. And for refusing to obey the things, instructions were given to you in this ministry, God will replace you one of these days in the position you occupy in this church. God can do it. He's not in short demand of people to work for him. So what are you bragging for? It robbed Saul because he compromised. He had a better idea. We brought that so that we can make sacrifice unto you. And God, he said, does God delight so much in sacrifice? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey first before you serve. God call me. Have you obeyed the word of God? That's the truth. A young prophet was told to go to Israel and go and deliver a prophecy to a king who had messed up himself, left his position, and was now offering sacrifices at the temple. God told him, when you go there, if they offer you any drink, don't take it. Any food, don't eat it. He said, this is thus said the Lord. God told him, he said, even the way that you used to enter that city, use another way to come out. Yes, sir. He went and finished his ministry. He delivered the message. Chap, chap, chap. God came down and vindicated as the one that sent him. They say, he followed and went. One old prophet that was at home. His children came and said, if you see what happened for church. He said, where is that person? He said, he has gone. They ran after him. How can you come now? I'm a prophet. I've been existing before you now. Do you know how long I've been in Bride Assembly? You don't just start now. Listen, follow us. See, follow us. This one, what they do now? You go soon crash. You know where would they come from? Not every time they give message here. Eh? Because if you do that, look, I've been in this church before this church started. I'm the oldest person here. Let me tell you. So you follow us. Just come now. They go forward, go forward, go forward. Follow us for back. This is how we take duam. When you are hungry, this is how you should do it. Forget this one. Where that house man they talk. Wait till we see in the siam. If you are hungry, this is how you should do it. That's how you do it. We're not the hungry here. We ministers for church here, we're not the hungry. Because we know what to do. Because these church members are very, very stingy. If you follow them, follow what I'm going to do, you don't die for nothing. I see you, they do. So follow us. That old prophet went and said, I am also a prophet. Don't say God is saying you should not come. I am a prophet. I hope you know I'm speaking from Bible. He said, follow me. He said, God told me that you should follow me and go and eat in my house. Well, since it is God that say, okay. Now see foolishness. God told me I should not eat. Another person come say, God tell and say, make it tell me. If it will change, would the same God talk to me? Will he use you to tell me to go contrary to what he has already told me? It's a spirit of compromise. And the reason is because that young prophet hungry, they wire him through. So he was just looking for something he can hold on to and go and eat. And he followed that old prophet to his house. And they brought food. As they began to eat, anointing hit the same old prophet. Thus said the Lord, because you have disobeyed, your carcass will be taken away. And it happened. He took us sorrowfully and going. A lion from the bush came out, devoured him and killed him. And stood there and was watching the dead body. Make somebody come here, come carry him, make I see. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He is still consuming now. He's still consuming now. Still consuming now. They went and told the old prophet. See, we see one dead body for road and one lion. They look and say, how did the body be? He say, oh, it must be that young prophet. The same people that will pull you down, they are the same people that will announce your fall when you compromise. It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why will God tell Saul to kill all those Amalekites? That same word is here now. Church, once you are converted, anything around you that will influence your Christianity, cut it off. That is the lesson from Saul. Cut it off. Destroy the bridges that link you to your past evil ways. Destroy it. Destroy it. You used to be a drunkard before. Throw away the remaining bottle of kankai that you kept in the house since the day you gave your life to Christ. Say, I don't drink again. If you don't drink again, then throw it away now. You know why you left it there. Anytime you see, you say, ha, if I do this now, I for don't drink you, tire. Hey, I'm born again now. If you throw it away now, your mind is still there. You know. Then one day, out of frustration, somebody will frustrate you. No peace. Then you remember how you used to cool down in those days. God, you understand. You go and take it and drink. Returning back to your vomit. That's why. Cut it off. Sister, throw away those trousers. You folded them and kept them under box. What for? You are waiting for the day you will go for your NYC away from Lagos, Abby. Then you will wear trousers and say, now NYC I do. It's true. If you are converted, then throw away those creams that bleach your skin. Throw away those earrings, no matter how expensive looking it is. There are even some pictures that should be offensive to you. When you see the way you used to dress as an unbeliever, those pictures remind you, you should get angry. Those worldly music that you used to listen to, pack them and throw them away. Those friends that cannot add anything to your spiritual life, cut them off. Every relationship should be business-like. Anything outside business, throw it away. It's either a customer relationship or whatever it is. But for me to sit down and be talking with you, what will a believer and unbeliever be discussing? Throw it away. Change your address, the kind of places you go to. Destroy all the Amalekites. Don't leave the king. The king there was the one that influenced you the most in your unbelieving days. Destroy him. Cut off his neck. Shall we stand up? I will not compromise. Somebody say it 4 times to yourself. Say it. Say it. Say it very loud. Tell your neighbor, don't compromise. Say, tell your neighbor now. Tell her where. No. Hey, there's something I saw now. No. How do you warn somebody? How do you warn? Warn him, let me see. Wait. You were shaking him. You did like this. Don't compromise. That is a compromising warning. I say warn your neighbor, don't compromise. Don't be like Jesus. To be like Jesus on earth I love. To be like him. Say. To like Johnny on earth to glory. Say, want to be like Jesus. That's That's our prayer. That's our prayer. Chest symbolizing a point of contact to your peace. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That's the confidence of every believer. Say very loud. Say very loud. Our fear is gone. As you go, the peace of the Lord will go with you. I say, as you go home, because you came to God's presence, the peace of the Lord will go with you in the name of Jesus. Like the psalmist, so say I now again, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you home today. Two angels are dispatched this afternoon to follow every one of you in the name of Jesus. Angel goodness and angel mercy shall follow you from today in the name of Jesus Christ. It is written, he who watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumber. That is our confidence. The Lord will watch over your going in and your coming out in the name of Jesus. This week shall be a week of blessing for you. I said this week shall be a week of blessings for you. It is a week of remembrance. It is a week of empowerment. There shall be a divine visitation in every aspect of your life this week in the name of Jesus. I cover you with the blood of Jesus Christ. In the camp of your enemy, the blood of Jesus will speak for you. You didn't understand that pronouncement. In the camp of your enemies, the blood of Jesus Christ will speak for you. Wherever you are going to look for favor this week, the blood of Jesus will speak favor for you. Anybody traveling, you will travel safely and come back safely in the name of Jesus. Accident is canceled. You will not die by the wish of your enemies. You will not die by stray bullets. You will not die by the hands of your enemy. You will not die by poison. You will not die by any sickness in the name of Jesus. Your expectation this week shall manifest. You believe it, shout that amen again. You believe it, shout that amen again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we share the grace, listen.